Tonight I want to speak about the truth of God's Word. You know, John 17 and verse 17 tells us that God's Word is truth. And so when people hear God's Word, when people hear the truth, they react to it in a certain way. And I want to look to this evening about some of our reactions that we have, or some of the reactions that people have when they encounter the truth. I was reading an article from Psychology Today on the internet, and there was a survey conducted from 2009 to 2011. I won't say the professor's name because I can't pronounce it, but he's a professor from the University of Texas, probably from India originally, or his name is Indian at least. But he offered the following proposition to his students in a class that he taught every year. And he said, supposing I offer you the choice between knowing the truth and being happy. He said, if you choose knowing the truth, you will know answers to all of life's big questions, such as, is there a God? What is the purpose of life? And so forth. But you may not be happy with the answers you receive. If you choose the latter, if you choose to be happy, you will lead a happy and fulfilling life from this moment forward, but you may never know the answer to life's big questions. And so over the course of about 3 or 4 years when he taught this course, he asked all of his students, he surveyed them, and of those surveyed during this span, 58% of them chose happiness and ignorance over knowing the truth. And so those surveyed, of course, these are all college students taking a psychology class called Creativity and Leadership. Now, I'd be hazard to guess that in the general population of the world, there's even higher percentage. I mean, these are people that are studying leadership, people that are studying psychology, and so they may be more interested in the truth than the average person. But I think the average person, you'd be a lot more people who would rather choose ignorance and happiness over knowing the truth, wherein they may or may not be happy with it. And so I think that's what a lot of people are like. A lot of people in this world prefer happiness and ignorance over the truth. And so a lot of other people, though, don't like it when someone lies to them. You know, we appreciate it when someone is willing to tell us the truth, at least most of us, I think, here that are Christians. When someone tells us the truth, we appreciate that. Even though it costs that person perhaps dearly to tell the truth. Or do we? Do we appreciate someone who tells us the truth? The fact is, there are many different reactions to the truth, and not all of those reactions are positive. And so I want to notice several, beginning with those that when they are affronted by the truth or confront the truth, they downplay the importance of it. You know, some people respond to hearing the truth by saying, well, you know, truth's not really important. Some deny that truth even exists, that there is no such thing as absolute truth. You know, this seems to have been the mindset of Pontius Pilate in John chapter 18. As we turn over there and notice as Jesus stands before Pilate on trial in John chapter 18, and I believe the verse is 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate said unto him, what is truth? Yeah, and so his response is simply to kind of blow off truth. You know, I think Pilate knew the truth about Jesus. At least he knew that he wasn't guilty of any wrongdoing, that he hadn't done anything worthy of death. And yet the Jews were demanding his death again and again. He tries to appease the Jews while still sparing Jesus. And at this point, though, he knows it's too late. And so what does truth matter? He's going to do what's expedient because he felt like truth is not important. You know, and so some deny that truth exists. Another way in which we downplay the importance of truth is to deny that one can know the truth. You know, they may say, well, you know, there is truth, but we really can't know it. It's all subjective. It's all based upon your own experiences. You know, if one can speak the truth, then one can know the truth. Even as Jesus promised in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. There Jesus, speaking to his disciples, of course, and to others. He says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus says you can know the truth. It can be known. The truth again is God's word, John 17:17. Deny that one can know the truth is to deny that one can know Christ. You know, another means of downplaying the importance of truth is simply ignoring it. You know, too many upon hearing the truth, instead of allowing it to prick their hearts, allowed it to roll right down off their calloused consciences. You know, recently, about 9 months ago in my I started up my truck and a little check engine light came on. And the truth was there's something wrong with my truck, but I didn't want to do anything about it. I just ignored it and ignored it and ignored it. Of course, I also noticed that my plates were going to expire in March. And as March is rolling on, I'm still ignoring the fact that my plates are going to expire, that my inspection is out of date, and my check engine light is on. So the last day of March, I go down and I want to get my truck registered. And, of course, it has to be inspected first. And guess what? It fails inspection because of the check engine light that came on 9 months ago that I ignored. And so now it's stuck in my driveway until I can get it fixed. Now, it's not legal to drive at the current time. And so you can ignore the truth all you want, but it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change that the truth is out there. You know, a lot of people, you know, regardless of how a lot of people may downplay the importance of truth, they cannot actually decrease the importance of truth. You know, truth is crucial to our society's success. How can we live in a society where there's a disregard for the truth? How can you trust someone to tell the truth when they don't believe it exists or they don't think it's important? How can one who has a disregard for the truth be trusted to live by any moral standard? And any moral standard, not just the Bible's moral standard, but any moral standard that society might make. And so how can, if you don't understand truth, if you don't believe in truth, you don't think truth is important, how can a functional society exist with that being the case? Even more importantly, and far more importantly, truth is the standard by which we will be judged by Christ. You know, John chapter 12, verse 48. He said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. But ultimately, too many fail to receive receive a love of the truth that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. They instead downplay its immeasurable importance. Another reaction to truth is, as we say, to shoot the messenger. You know, consider the adversarial attitude taken towards Paul by many, even among some who had been saved by his preaching. Notice over in the book of Galatians, in chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Says, you know how that through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have been. For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, Paul here had established on his first and second missionary journeys, he had established the churches there in Galatia, in the area of Galatia. He had preached to them. He had preached the gospel to them. They had obeyed the gospel. They had a great love for Paul. And yet, someone else came in there after Paul has been there, and they brought a perverted gospel that was troubling the souls of the Galatians. It was causing them to turn away from the Lord. Notice Galatians 1, 6 and 7, where Paul wrote, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel. And so there were those that were perverting the gospel, and apparently these Galatians liked the perverted gospel better than what Paul had told them. And so Paul said, am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth? They did not count these liars as their enemies. Rather, they considered truthful Paul as their enemy. You know, you've heard the old saying that no one likes the bearer of bad news. You know, although the gospel is certainly good news, that's what it means, good news, some perceive it as bad news since it is both challenging and demanding. You know, some will go to great lengths to suppress the truth. You know, a common knee-jerk reaction to the truth is likewise to suppress the one who tells the truth, blaming the messenger for the message. You know, there's a number of examples that we could look to in the Bible where this took place, but one of my favorites is in 1 Kings chapter 22. There, just to give you the background while I'm trying to find it, 1 Kings chapter 22, Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah, and Ahab is the king of Israel. And they've both been at war at different times with the Syrians. There's been a time of peace, but now Ahab wants to reignite the war with Syria and recapture some cities that Syria had taken. And he calls for Jehoshaphat to come down and for them to join an alliance against the Syrians. And so when we come to 1 Kings 22, verses 1 through 8, notice here it says, they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel, and it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And so all his prophets, his false prophets, were saying, go, do it. You'll take it. The Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat says, is there a prophet of the Lord among all of these prophets? Is there one that we can ask the Lord? One who's going to tell the truth? And in verse 8 it says, the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And so he hated Jehoshaphat, or he hated Micaiah, because Micaiah would not prophesy the way he wanted. He would not tell him what he wanted to hear. And when he did not like Micaiah's divine message, Ahab returned Micaiah to his undeserved imprisonments. Over in verses 26 and 27, it says, and the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son,
and say thus, saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of afflictions and with water of afflictions until I come in peace. He didn't like the message of Micaiah. I hate him. He doesn't say anything good. And so he had him thrown in prison. You know, in our modern society, the common approach is not to literally kill the messenger. You know, despisers of the truth shoot verbal bullets their way, calling them confrontational, negative, unloving, and things like that. The messengers of truth are indeed controversial because such is the nature of truth. Truth can be controversial. You know, Christians who have come out of darkness to a life, came out of the darkness of a lie to obey the light of the truth are to walk as children of light. This means they will necessarily rebuke the works of darkness. Notice Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Here we are told, as Christians, we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So there's two things here. One, do not fellowship the works of darkness. And two, speak out against them. Show them the error of their ways. And so this doesn't sit well with those who would rather continue in darkness than in light. And so messengers of truth will be confrontational at times. The messengers of truth will also be negative at times, because not all of the truth is positive. However, it's a false accusation for anyone to attack the messengers of truth as unloving merely because what they say may be unpleasant. Ephesians 4:15 tells us that we are to be speaking the truth in love. You know, the truth may be unpleasant to the hearers, but if it's told out of love, we're doing what we should. And so only the truth can be spoken in love. You know, someone may tell you something that you like, but it may be wrong. And you may think, well, that person really loves me because he's telling me that what I want to hear. But that is not what love is. Love, one thing, seeketh no ill of another. We're not going to do something and say something that may be harmful to you if we love you. And so only the truth can be spoken in love. Only the truth can cause one to grow in the likeness of Christ. Nonetheless, some will still attack those that present the truth as being unloving. But since truth is not important to these people, people like that, neither do they find it important to make only truthful allegations. A third reaction to truth is to embrace a lie. You know, one who finds the truth objectionable will often replace the truth with something contradictory to it. They will cling tightly to the false replacements. We look in the book of Isaiah. You know, Isaiah is written a few years before Israel, the northern kingdom, is carried off into captivity. And the basic message that Isaiah has been giving is repent, repent, or you will be destroyed. In Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 and 10, verse 8, back up to verse 8, says, now go, write it before them in a table, and take it and take note in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the word of the Lord, or the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Again, that kind of goes back to Ahab and Micaiah. He only says bad things about me. He won't say anything good. I hate him. And so in place of the right things, in place of the law of the Lord, they preferred smooth things. They wanted deceits. You know, it would not seem to make a bit of sense to embrace a lie. But most people are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Again, that goes back to that opening illustration we talked about, those, the 58% of those in that class that would rather be happy and not know the truth than know the truth and risk the fact that they may not be happy because of the truth. And so to most, new and exciting is easier to embrace than the old paths. Even though only the old paths and the Word of God, what I'm talking about, the old religion of God, the New Testament religion,
Only the old paths can provide the rest for our souls that we desperately seek. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, Jeremiah challenges the people of his day to embrace the old paths. Verse 16, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." They would rather embrace a lie than to embrace the truth and embrace the old paths. Yet faithful Christians must continue in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 25. Notice they oppose themselves when they embrace a lie rather than the truth. And the final reaction to the truth I want to look at tonight is those that embrace the truth. You know, Paul rejoiced at the church at Thessalonica, that the Thessalonians had embraced the truth. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God." They understood it was the word of God. They accepted it. They embraced it. They heard the truth. They realized it was the truth. They acknowledged it was the truth. And they submitted themselves to the truth. You know, Proverbs 23:23 encourages us to buy the truth and sell it not. You know, unlike in the real estate market or others, truth is always a buyer's market, not a seller. And so buy the truth. Don't sell it. It's not a seller's market. Psalm 25 verse 5 says, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." This is the attitude of one that has embraced the truth. He wants to be led by the truth. He wants to follow the teachings of the Word of God. They are the ones who embrace the truth. You know, what happened to the man, fictional story, who saved a neighboring family from their burning house? Certainly he was thanked profusely and adored by that family, certainly. Was he not admired also by the rest of the community? So should the truth be adored, admired, and esteemed for the life which it provides in the face of eternal destruction. You know, the truth, the Word of God, sanctifies us. It sets us apart from people of the world. And what is going to happen to the world? It's going to be incinerated. It's going to burn. You know, the man who saved the family from the fire, he may have brought the news that was unpleasant to hear when he yelled out that their house was on fire. He may have challenged them when he told them to crawl to avoid it, the smoke inhalation. But he told them the truth. And when they heard the truth, did they reject it? Did they say it wasn't important? Oh, the house is on fire, it's not important. Did they try to ignore it? Did they say, oh, no, it's not on fire? Did they embrace a lie? Or did they act upon the truth? And they were saved from the fire because they heard the message and they heeded it. Even though the message wasn't something they wanted to hear. Who wants to hear that? Your house is on fire. And so we've seen the four different categories of reactions to the truth that have been considered. You know, some that downplay the importance of truth. Some that get angry and they shoot the messenger. Some that embrace a lie instead. And some that embrace a truth or the truth. Notice there is a relationship between the first three reactions. You know, when one has downplayed the importance of truth, like Pilate, it doesn't matter what the truth is. This can cause him or will cause him to reject the messenger of truth. And ultimately, he will embrace a lie. You know, Pilate's lie was, well, I've washed my hands and I've done everything and I am clean of this man's death. Absolutely, that was a lie. He was absolutely guilty. And so another way... is that it may be the case that one has already embraced a lie. Someone's already embraced a lie and someone else comes to them with the truth that points out the fallacy of what they believe. But, they've embraced the lie, so they've caused them to downplay the importance of truth. And so when they're confronted with the truth, their response is, well, that's just your interpretation. It doesn't matter to them. Or they get angry at the messenger of truth. Whatever the case, when one responds unfavorably to the truth, all of these three things eventually run together. And the one who fails to embrace the truth can only live a lie. You know, as much as one might think that no one would appreciate being lied to, many people, and I think most people, react negatively to the truth. Those who are Christians have the responsibility of proclaiming the truth regardless of the other's reaction to it. You know, we're to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, I like what one of the old-time preachers said about that verse, that in season, out of season means when they like it and when they don't like it. You preach the truth whether they like it or not. Each person then will be judged by his reaction and response to the truth. The Word of God is truth that sanctifies us and sets us apart, makes us holy. It sets us aside as God's people. When we obey the truth, when we obey the Word of God, when we put on Christ in baptism and we become a disciple of Jesus Christ and we make our life to mirror the life of Jesus and we make our life to mirror the Word of God and we follow and keep the Word of God, then we've embraced the truth and all of the truth. The truth will make us free. Tonight, if you're here and you have not embraced the truth, it's time to do so. You have the opportunity right now. You know, the day is coming when the Lord will return. We don't know when that is. We only know that we have the opportunity now. If you're here today and you're a Christian but haven't been faithful, you've turned away from the truth, we urge you to come back and embrace it once more.